Everyone, it's James Lindsay, and you are listening to New Discourses Bullets, where I give a short bullet point-like summary of a single topic from woke that we all need to understand so that we can defeat it, and I mean utterly. And I want to talk to you today about two related concepts that you may not realize are related. The podcast is nominally aimed at talking about the mass line, which is a Maoist concept. It was one of Mao's more devious inventions, the mass line campaign, which is a term that, I knew the term for a very long time and still didn't know what it meant until I finally sat down to understand it. Secondly is the idea that I have discussed many, many times from Paulo Freire, the Brazilian Marxist educator who gave us critical pedagogy, which he called Education for Liberation, which is the generative themes model. Now, I'm going to describe the mass line in this podcast, but I'm going to dip into explaining how it's the same thing as the generative themes model. And I mean that literally. In Pedagogy of the Oppressed, in the first chapter, in footnote, in whatever edition I have, footnote number 10, I've cited it a number of times. It's cited, for example, in The Queering of the American Child. It's cited in Marxification of Education. It's in several of my books. On footnote number 10 in chapter 1 of the Pedagogy of the Oppressed, which is Paulo Freire's magnum opus written in 1970, he says that he derived the educational method that he defends from the techniques of Mao Zedong in the Cultural Revolution. And when you understand what the generative themes approach is that has taken over our education system to radicalize our young people, you can also understand how it came from the mass line once you know what the mass line is. So what is the mass line? The mass line is a tricky use of language because the mass here doesn't refer necessarily to a heavy thing with lots of mass behind it, so lots of momentum. If you remember your P equals MV from high school physics, it refers to the masses. It is the line from the masses that is to be taken up by the masses. Okay, so the masses are the masses of the people. And the mass line is the line that the masses are taking and that they're being driven to take at the same time. You say, well, which one is it? That it's the line from the masses or the line given to the masses for them all to follow? And the answer is both in a nasty dialectical way. And that way, if you know the Paulo Freire generative method pretty well, is going to stick out to you immediately. You're going to see that it's exactly what the same thing is. If you aren't, I'm going to make it clear to you as we go. So the way that it worked with the mass line is that the Maoists, the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, went among the masses and effectively found out what was bothering them, what issues agitate them. Remember, with Lenin, the strategy for communism in general was to send agitation and propaganda, or agitprop, into all levels of the society. So what Mao and his Chinese communists realized was they needed to find out what would agitate the people. If you're going to send them agitation, you might as well find out what will agitate them. So they wanted to see what the frustrations of the people were. What makes them mad? Where are the reservoirs of communist or socialist hope that they have? Where are, in fact, big emotions? That's where agitation propaganda works the best. Agitation works where you can rouse emotions and take them further than they otherwise would have gone, or where you can demoralize somebody and suppress their emotional reactions to make them feel like nothing's going to work. In the mass line campaigns, it was almost always the former. The idea was to rouse the emotions to get a campaign accomplished. So the CCP had something it wanted to do. Maybe it was build a reservoir. Maybe it was, you know, seize all the land in a farm collectivization project. Maybe it was going to be to irrigate all of China, which was one of their many disastrous projects. Maybe it was going to be to turn all the farmers into the army and the army into the farmers and run the farms like a military operation. Maybe it was to purge so-called right-wingers or rightists. Maybe it was to purge the various, I'm trying to figure out how to call these. There's the three antis and the five antis campaign where they purged people like money launderers and things on very expansive definitions to get rid of Mao's political opponents. It was in very many cases a purge campaign, but they wanted people to participate in. In fact, the Cultural Revolution was a gigantic purge campaign that Mao was running to get rid of the existing leadership in the CCP that he felt had humiliated him and pushed him to the side, and he was going to reclaim his full standing. And so it was a gigantic purge campaign dressed up as something completely different with lots of destruction. But the point is that you have to figure out where the emotional resonance of the people is. You have to be able, if you want to agitate them successfully, to know what will agitate them. I want you to think of this like a mind virus, right? Woke is a mind virus. Communism is a mind virus. Fascism is a mind virus. Fine, they're all mind viruses. Viruses get into your cells and begin to replicate by attaching at specific receptor sites. We all learned about this during the COVID pandemic when they had to listen to all this crap nobody needed to know about so-called ACE2 receptors, ACE2 receptors. So the ACE2 receptors on epithelial tissue were the spot that the COVID virus or the coronaviruses will attach to and be able to inject their genetic material into your cell. They need a receptor site to be able to get in. The suspicion was that nicotine may have played a role in reducing transmission rates, specifically because of what it did to interact with the ACE2 receptors, but I digress. So the point is, these agitating points, these emotional resonant points, are like the receptors that the woke mind virus or fascist or communist mind virus can enter into the cell of somebody's mind. And so you have to know what they are. So the mass line is drawn from the masses, and that was the bragging point of it. It was drawn from the masses. This is what Paulo Freire calls in his generative education model, Education for Liberation, which became called critical pedagogy. This is what he calls the generative theme method. He says you go and you begin every learning opportunity by having discussions, dialogue with the students, with the learners as equals. And you talk to them specifically about what is on their mind, what's relevant to their lives, what's engaging to them. And you look for emotionally resonant themes. They can be big positive emotions, but more often they're big negative emotions. And you gather those themes together because they'll be the basis for your educational program. Same exact idea. So then what you do in the mass line is the Communist Party would take all those agitation points, say these are the things where we know we can agitate the population into action, and you codify them. That's the word Paulo Freire used, was codification. What you do is you dress them up in Marxist theory and figure out how to attach them to a campaign you want to succeed. So for the mass line, you might figure out that the people are frustrated with, you know, not having enough to eat. And then you decide what you want to do is you want to get rid of your political enemies that are operating in, you know, whatever levels of local government, and you create the story that the middlemen in the local government levels are actually stealing the food or suppressing this or lying or doing whatever. And then you're going to say to the people in the last stage, which is the actual deployment of the mass line campaign, that the problem is these middlemen. You guys are starving. We, the socialist government, recognize that you're starving, and it's these awful, terrible middlemen stealing your food that's the problem. Or maybe it's the famous situation where he blamed the rats, and he organized a campaign. Mao blamed the rats for stealing all the food, or the birds. There was one where he blamed all the birds for stealing all the food. You see, it was the non-native birds. It was the invasive foreign birds stealing the food. And in these two cases, what happened in both cases was a disaster. With the rats, he put out a mass campaign and the goal was to create a bounty and you would get paid or have actually a quota of rat tails that you had to bring to prove that you were killing the rats to get rid of the pests. This happened many times. So the cheapest way to get rat tails, it turned out, besides the black market, was to breed rats. So they ended up with a whole lot more rats and a big, big problem. With the birds, if you don't know that story, Mao put out a big campaign that the reason that there wasn't enough grain was because all the birds that weren't native Chinese birds, which he listed like five were actually real birds, were stealing all the grain. So he said that people had to go scare the birds and kill the birds because the birds were keeping them from having any food. And so the people went out and chased the birds with sticks and killed birds and did whatever to get rid of birds. And the birds were actually eating the bugs. So there was a famine the next year after the bugs decimated all the crops. What a fantastic program this had. But the mass line campaign was that you take the frustrations, you codify it in terms of the campaign that you want to push, and then you feed the campaign back to the people to get them to go do something for you through their own sense of frustration. In other words, you reinterpret the conditions of their experience in communist activist campaign programming and then feed it back to them to get them to use that energy to achieve something that you as the party want achieved. This is, of course, what Paulo Freire did with his generative themes. He knew these were emotionally agitating points for the students or the learners. So he codified them so that the interpretation for those frustrations connected to those ideas would be through Marxist doctrine or liberationist doctrine, post-colonial doctrine. And then he fed that back to them as their education. Well, today, you know, one of the things you guys are all struggling with is that you live in the slums. So we're going to talk about the favelas of Brazil. We're going to talk about what life is like in the slum and look how it is. And did you know that the reason that the slum is the way that it is because we have this unjust system that set everything up so that they and, you know, Rio can win and you remain dirt poor, blah, blah, blah. And you give the Marxist interpretation for their problem. And the excuse is that you're motivating them to want to learn more, whether to read the word favela or other words so that they can understand their conditions better. But what you're actually doing is radicalizing them with political ideology. You're bringing in the Marxism as the explanation for the thing that's agitating them and calling that political education. That's the Freirean method. That's why nobody learns to read in critical pedagogy, because the reading lesson has been turned, in Freire's words, into a mediator for political knowledge, or as a radicalization opportunity. He called it conscientization. Mao would have called it mobilization on the mass line, but the system is the same. The idea is the same idea. You go among the masses, find out where their points of agitation are, gather that information, turn it into a communist propaganda campaign, an agitation campaign dedicated to a specific end, then you feed it back to the masses to get the masses to all take and follow that line to achieve your goals. Again, the Cultural Revolution is a gigantic example where he primarily worked up young people to believe that their futures were being stalled and stolen because of the corrupt party leaders who happened to be Mao's political enemies. And over the course of about a year and a half, he was able to get these students and young people whipped into a froth to start destroying everything in China, to cause all these problems, destroy the four olds, he said. Smash old culture, smash old ideas, anything representing old habits or old thought had to be absolutely smashed. That was the word in Chinese, smash. So absolute destruction of anything old, because it's a new generation with a new socialism. And of course, who was old? Oh, the old leaders also had to go until they, you know, rounded up and deposed Liu Shaoqi, who was the sitting premier of China at the time. And so Mao could step back into that role, both as chairman and premier, head of the party. And so he got his power back. But this is about the end of 1967. By early 1968, he was getting rid of the Red Guard in mass, sending them off to prison camps and stuff, sometimes killing them. Because they were too radical. So he had to have another campaign. But the mass line is that you get everybody worked up, that all their problems, you go find out what their problems are, and then you tell them all their problems are caused by not succeeding in this particular communist campaign that's going to solve all their problems, and you send them out in a cult of enthusiasm to go accomplish your goals for you. And like I said, it's the exact same thing for an education. You gather the generative themes, and the reason it's the same thing is because Freire got it from Mao. You gather the generative themes that are emotionally resonant to them. You frame the educational lesson in terms of those emotionally agitating themes, and you shoot it through with communist doctrine. He called that codification. And when you explain it to the students, he called it decodification. You're decodifying their political experience while teaching them to read or do math or whatever else. For Paulo Freire, it was always teach to read, but it's been expanded to every subject since in the critical pedagogy approach. You'll see this happen a lot in the so-called democratic classroom environment. That's a student-led environment, a dialogical classroom. They have all kinds of names for it. But the democratic classroom, which was primarily, you know, developed by one of Freire's acolytes, Henry Giroux. And the idea there is that the students and the teacher are basically peers. It's very democratic. So we're going to bring these guys in. We're going to listen to them. But the goal, as Freire phrased it, was that the educator is a facilitator into political knowledge. So the teacher pretends to be buddies. We're all listening to the students. Nobody's opinions are wrong. And then the person that's acting as the teacher is a facilitator to bring out certain points. You will see this on all kinds of so-called round tables in political discussion. We care what you think. Let's get a bunch of people, especially young people, on a podcast talking about the issues. Let's get what they think. And then the person in the middle kind of guides them and draws them and leads them and interprets for them to some kind of point that is in line with some activist vision. It's very common. This is on that on small scale is the mass line or the generative themes model. But the mass line, just to summarize one last time, is to go among the masses, find out what will agitate them, use that to craft a political campaign for your own purposes through their agitation by framing your enemies or the lack of your goal, I should say, as the reason that they have their frustration. Then you feed that to them and create a mass movement or a mass campaign against it. Basically, everything you've watched with the astroturfed activism from the left going all the way back at least to Trump's first election. You remember when they all marched with their stupid pink hats, which I almost said what they called them, but I didn't. Remember when they all marched with their pink hats and there's the science march against Trump and all this other crap, all these marches against Trump and all these astroturfed events that you've seen? These are all mass line campaigns. They're finding out what freaks out, emotionally engages, and agitates the people, packaging it up into a politically resonant, in fact, in this case, Marxist or sometimes fascist interpretation, feeding it back to people to agitate them to mass action to create a political outcome. That's the mass line. The generative themes model is based on the same thing. That's what your kids are exposed to at school all the time. That's what they're being educated with. So why do you think they're so ready and eager to participate in mass lines when they've been groomed and trained to participate in mass line thinking their entire education? That's the system. This is also what Mao Zedong did. I hope this has helped you to understand a little bit more about the world you're in. What do you do about the mass line? Again, you have to, all we have as small people in the world is to be able to call out these dynamics. We can do some journalism if that's within our perspective to try to figure out who's funding and fueling and coordinating these things, but we have to call out what these things are as we see them and draw the parallels to the mass line campaigns of communist China. The mass campaigns that Hitler ran in Nazi Germany are the same, especially through the Hitler Youth. And we've just got to make the case that what's happening is political manipulation, not political engagement. And then we have to hope that, you know, we can shake enough people out of them so that they lose their reflexive potential and they don't go viral and they fall apart. Because that's really all most of us can do.